Stars of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And this is our News and Information Hour, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. I know that business had not finished, I think, with you and your aunt, Robert.
She's mad at me because I made a comment about that one girl.
What one girl, man? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, here, I'll tell him. Go ahead. Talking about that one girl in Olympic that she was the gymnastic? Yeah, that one lady on the gymnastic team.
What one lady on the gymnastics team?
I said she looked like a Vulcan.
Get his mother on the phone, will you?
Which one?
Not his mother, I'm sorry. Mavis, his aunt. Get her on the phone.
What do you mean, which one? My mother dead.
I know. I apologize, Robert. Mavis?
Yeah, now, that's not what you said. You said that he had
a... No, Mavis, I said that the DNA...
Yeah, this fool is telling me, Phil, that girl in the Olympic team had a Vulcan DNA.
What?
No, I did not. I said it. Do you think it possible?
How could it be possible? There's no such thing as a Vulcan. How could it be...
Wait, hold on. What are we talking about here?
This fool said to me that little girl Maroney, that Malika Maroney, you know that little girl, she got a pointed nose, she's a very cute little girl, okay?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the black one, I'm talking about the little white girl.
Hey, I think I know the one you're talking about, yeah.
All right, this fool said, do you think she had Vulcan DNA? And the reason why he said that is he said, you put pointed ears on that girl, and he said that's a green-blooded girl. And that is something to look into, some stupid thing.
If you did what? I said if you put pointed ears on that one girl, Maloney.
You're talking about the gymnast, the Malika girl?
Yeah, that's right. And this fool said to put a pointed ear on her.
I was about to say, if you put a pointed ear on her, it would be a Vulcan.
That's the dumbest conversation I've ever heard in my life.
Amen. Thank you very much. That's what I'm trying to say to this idiot.
I didn't say I think she's Vulcan. I said... Is it possible to have Vulcan DNA?
No, there's no Vulcan DNA on account of no Vulcans.
Oh.
Are you kidding me or something?
I'd like to go back to sleep.
Go ahead, Mavis. Sorry we bothered you.
You are one dumbass.
I didn't know because if I wouldn't have said nothing, okay?
Yeah, but there's no Vulcan.
There's no Vulcans, you jackball. She's got Vulcan DNA.
Yeah, if you put a pointed ear on her.
Well, nobody's putting any pointed ears on her. Put pointed ears on you. You're a Vulcan.
No, you put pointed ears on him, he got to be Klingon.
Klingon don't have no pointed ear.
Well.
I don't have any energy for this tonight, okay? Do you understand? I have no bloody energy for this tonight. I have no bloody energy for your foolishness, as our elderly folks might say. All right, the Phil Hendry Show here. $320 million Powerball numbers released. Woo! Man, that'd solve a whole lot. Who said money is the root of all evil? Let me tell you what the root of all evil is. No guts. That's the root of all evil. You want the root of all evil? Not having enough guts to go out and stake your claim in this world. Money can be the root of some very good things. And don't try to give me this line of crap, because every single person I know, including every single person listening to me right now, values money, wants more money than they have, and would like to have lots of it so they can do things that they would like to do. Now, that's just a fact. So when I hear people talking to me about, well, money isn't everything, oh, get out of here, will you? I know money isn't everything, and I'm not trying to badmouth or devalue the values of people, you know, the standards of people. I understand that there are things that are important to people that have nothing to do with money, but the fact of the matter remains, every single thing that you want to do in your life, you can do easier, you can do faster, or you will at least have the time for with money.
What about if you want to go to heaven? What are you talking about?
If I wanted to go to heaven?
Yeah.
If I wanted to go to heaven, you know what? You know the good that money could do? If I wanted to go to, what are you talking about if I want to go to heaven?
Yeah, but how did that make you be a humble man?
You could be a humble man when you have money. I would even go so far as to tell you that money might make it easier for you to be humble, because you don't need to impress anybody. You don't have to, You're not in any ego battle. You're not out in the world going toe to toe with the other beasts of the jungle. Money would give you time to reflect. Money would give you the opportunity to do good. Money would allow you to build things, to enhance people's lives. Tell me that money wouldn't build a nice school, or that money wouldn't be used as a scholarship to help kids go to school, or that money couldn't be used to build homes, or that money couldn't be used to build a clinic. Are you kidding me?
Maybe what they're talking about is the wrong use of money.
Well, sure, but is there any wrong use? If somebody has money, the only wrong thing that I can think of when it comes to money is if you steal it. But if it's your money, you know, barring doing illegal things, you know, paying off.
Yeah, well, you're like, you hire a killer.
Okay, I'm not talking about that, Bud. I'm talking about even if you spent the money on yourself. Let's just say you made a lot of money in your life. You're an honest man, but you made a lot of money in your life, and you spent it all on yourself. You didn't give one nickel away to anybody. You gave it all to yourself. Okay? I maintain that even that is not necessarily bad. That doesn't define your life. You might have done lots of good in your life, but you just didn't give any of your money away. You spent it all on yourself. Now, if for people to say, well, that's wrong, Phil, then they are giving money a value that they ordinarily, if they're the ones that say money is the root of all evil, and it's very selfish for a man to hold on to his own money, well, which is it, you know? I mean, if money is the root of all evil, then maybe he shouldn't be giving it away.
What? That don't make any sense.
You're right. It doesn't make sense. If you think money is the root of all evil, then you wouldn't want anybody to give it away. You see? All right, having said everything that I've just said about money, which I don't even think I believe.
Yeah, you made all that up.
No, I didn't make it up, but I believe everything I just said. $320 million Powerball numbers released. Quick, check your tickets, sports fans. Did you ever see that movie, by the way? What was the flick about the Irish village that had the Irish sweepstakes?
Oh, man, that movie's pretty good.
Yeah, the old guys?
Yeah, they're a bunch of old Irish guys, but it was everybody in a village. And one of the guys wins the Irish sweepstakes, but he dies. They find a...
They found a ticket, and he had it. He's in his bathtub.
Right, he's in his bathtub. And they wind up pretending that they're all his... Somehow they conned the Irish sweepstakes guy into them, you know, giving them the ticket. And the thing that I thought was charming about this movie, and I forget... God, I wish I remember the name of it. It was the village. Did you see that village?
Yeah, man, that village about as bad as any, like they lived in Africa or something.
Yeah, it looked like an African village.
It was an Irish village. I mean, it was a post, what do I want to say? It was a post-Irish Revolution, from the ground up Irish village, you know, probably the same kind of, I shouldn't say post-Irish, probably the same kind of village they've had for hundreds of years. But it was an interesting place because it took the Irish sweepstakes guy a chopper to get to it. Remember that?
Yeah, man. What was that about?
It was probably easier to get there by way of helicopter than it was to get there by way of car. I mean, that part of Ireland, I don't know what it's like now because Ireland's undergone quite a... there was quite a economic upturn in Ireland. I don't know where things are at now, but they had an incredible building phase. They're building homes, building new... new domiciles, new businesses left and right. All right, the $320 million Powerball numbers just came out at about 11 p.m. Eastern Time. That was last night. The winning numbers are, I don't know if this will help anybody. Should I read them?
Yeah, go ahead.
6, 27, 46, 51, 56, and 21. 6, 27, 46, 51, 56, and 21. It may take several hours for officials to determine whether anybody won the enormous national lottery drawing, which is held in 42 states, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and the District of Columbia. The prize swelled Saturday, if you'll pardon the expression, after no one hit all six numbers. The game's largest prize to date, $365 million, which was awarded in 2006 to a group of eight co-workers at a Nebraska meatpacking plant. Was that the group where the one guy...
that I had some kind of a beef, I think.
Yeah, meatpacking plant of beef. That's pretty good.
I didn't know I was making a joke.
Well, what was the beef? What was the...
Yeah, a meatpacking plant.
Okay, bud. What was the problem?
I think they one guy tried to say it was his ticket or something.
I don't think that was that. I think it was another one.
Yeah, that was later.
There was a group that had a controversy, and one of them said, no, it's mine, and the group said, no, wait a second, you bought it for us. We'll find out here. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more of this Powerball news and other news. On the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on this News and Information Hour for a Wednesday night. I hope you took the garbage out, bud, because it was garbage night.
Dead garbage night.
I mean, it was garbage morning. Well, you know. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, take yourself out, man. You smell.
Take yourself out.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, and thanks to Dan Northcraft, our intrepid technical director, part-time producer, all kind of thing. And he found a movie, Waking Ned Devine.
Yeah, that's the name of the guy. That's the name of the guy that died.
That was the name of the guy that died, yeah. Waking Ned Devine was the cat. That's the movie. And I would recommend it. It's a cool flick. It's just a cool flick. It's a feel-good movie, man, and... you know.
Yeah, but it's all fantasy and stuff.
Well, sure it's fantasy. So is Batman.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, yes. What's the difference? You know, I mean, the difference would be is whether you're interested more in a Batman type of fantasy or they're interested. I like them both, you know. I'm into both of them. But I thought the flick was really cool. Because this movie, Waking Ned Devine, has a lot of, story. There's a lot of heart to it. And it's about friendship. And it's about a lot of stuff, you know, that... All right, what I'm trying to do right now is, what are we trying to do, man? I'm trying to get back to Google so we can take a look at the other news, right? Bud and Robert, you had something you wanted to say?
Well, I mean, I found out of the lady you were talking about.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
That was a lady, that was last year, and they won a big Powerball, and only she came back and she goes, yeah, but... this ticket I bought for myself.
Okay, that was it, yeah.
About the lady that said that was her?
Yes, some lady, and I think it was in Pennsylvania, I forget where. But she went out and she bought two Powerball tickets. She bought one for her and her group from work. And then she said the other one was just for her alone. And it just so happens that the one that hit for $85 billion, whatever the hell it was, well, guess what? That's the one she bought just for herself.
Yeah, bullcrap.
She's not going to approve that.
Well, I don't believe it either. You know, unless you walk up to people and go, oh, by the way, I bought two tickets. This one here is for me, and this one here. Are you trying to tell me that you're expecting, gee, that's really our tough luck. Wow, how lucky for you. It just happens to be the other one. So that's horse dung. All right, let's take a look at other news here. We're talking so much tonight about Biden. Ryan is in the news, you know, Paul Ryan. Now, there has been some reaction to the selection of this guy, Ryan, as the running mate for Mitt Romney. It ain't exactly been boffo box office. That's, you know, 42% in a Gallup poll that was released very soon thereafter. Well, the weekend, a little bit after the weekend. 42% of those polled... disapproved, I think, was it?
No, 39 in favor.
39 in favor, 42 disapproved, and there you go. Which, to me, that sounds, you know, some people will say, oh, wow, that sounds like a, you know, people are split down the middle, although it's not a overwhelming, like, wow, this is exciting, you know.
But you wasn't Sarah Palin.
Well, that was just it. Sarah Palin, when she was selected by McCain 4 years ago, had something right out of the gate. She had like a 48 or 49% approval. Paul Ryan likes exercise, budget chats, and the Green Bay Packers. Joe Biden likes train rides, foreign policy, and talking a lot. In some ways, those presidential ticket number twos could not be more different. They are separated in age by nearly three decades, were born to families in different regions of the country, and have views on opposite ends of the political spectrum. But in other ways... the 42-year-old Republican congressman and the 69-year-old Democratic vice president are very much alike. Both were born to Catholic families in working-class neighborhoods and were young stars in their parties who became experts on the inner workings of Washington. Poor families. I thought this guy was from a rich family.
What are they talking about?
I thought this guy, Paul Ryan, was from a rich... This is what this guy's, Mike Lupica's column was all about. He comes from an entitled family, a founding family in Wisconsin. What's the story on this guy? Can't we get something straight here?
I don't know. I mean, that is what it said.
Well, this article written by Steve Peoples and Matthew Daly for AP says, and I'm quoting again, it says they're both were born families in working-class neighborhoods.
You know something, man? You can have a house in a working-class neighborhood and still be rich.
Yeah, if your dad owns a factory.
Right.
Well, maybe that's the case.
Yeah, because it said he come from a founding party. Found a what?
They didn't find nothing in front of the fanny.
They found a fanny?
What are you guys talking about?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about this guy, and you two guys are babbling about what?
No, he said that he came from a founding fanny or something.
Not a founding fanny, founding family.
Founding fanny? Founding family.
Yeah.
From this clown, I shouldn't say clown, excuse me, this gentleman, Paul Ryan. I say clown because I'm getting frustrated with these two guys. Paul Ryan. But what I read in the Mike Lupica article was that Paul Ryan was from money. Now, this article says working class neighborhood. There's a difference. And it, like you said, he could have been raised in a working class neighborhood because his father owned a factory. I mean, we'll get to the bottom of this. Trust me, folks. After the news, we will have the answer for you on that. However, continuing on, perhaps above all, these men both do political things that respective number ones cannot. Biden, with his backslapping image, big smile, and hardscrabble roots in Scranton, is seen as more effective than President Barack Obama at courting white working-class voters. Ryan, while less known outside his Janesville, Wisconsin hometown, is a favorite of the Republican Party's conservative base, a group that long has been skeptical of Republican presidential contender Mitt Romney's conservative credentials. The question that I have is this. Why is it so important in the Republican Party to court the hardline conservatives? Okay, well, because they make up a significant portion of the party. Their votes count, especially in primaries. However, and here's the big problem, when it comes to fielding a ticket, and you have to take into consideration every bloody time the hardline Republican, and you wind up losing the race because the country is not that in love with hardline conservatism. They just aren't.
Yeah, but they want to be ideologically, like, pure and everything.
What?
They want to be true to their philosophy.
Right. Robert's right. That's who they are. They're Republicans, and they want to make sure that they, make the Republican Party and the Republican base happy. However, I keep asking this question. I asked it 4 years ago. I'm going to ask it again. Is the Republican Party increasingly irrelevant? Now, you can ask the same thing about Democrats, but Democrats... it would seem, at least with this last election of Obama and in the ensuing years, even though the Republicans might have had a good time in 2010 in the midterms, the fact remains, I don't think that Ryan is going to help you get independents and is going to help you get the mainstream voter. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, sue me. Over the next 3 months, Biden and Ryan will play key roles in the White House race, raising money, criticizing the opponent, and helping lend credibility to complicated policy debates. Yeah, sure. Biden on foreign policy and Ryan on federal budgeting. They'll also inevitably create headaches for their bosses, as Biden did this week when he told a Virginia crowd that included hundreds of black people that Romney's plans for Wall Street would put them back in chains, y'all. Mostly their job, sell the boss to Americans and tear down the other guy. All right, we'll see.
Will we look that up?
You got to look up Ryan. All I want to find out is Ryan the rich kid that Mike Lupica painted him to be? Is Ryan the guy that has never had a job, never had to go out and get a job? Is all of that true? What are you talking about, Stephen Peebles and Matthew Daly of the Associated Press? The guy comes from a working class neighborhood. That's what I want to find out.
I love it.
All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show. reminding you that our website is philhenryshow.com. Haven't even talked about our website tonight. philhenryshow.com, live streaming video of our show every night, a massive archive, bigger than any single radio show has ever had, probably ever will have. It's available to you as a Backstage Pass member, and I mean full three-hour shows, not clips, not 30-second clips. Oh, here's what Bobby said today. No, no. All 3 hours, the horrible 3 hours, the whole story and nothing but the whole story right there for you at philhenryshow.com. Plus our video archive, a five-day archive for our video cast, a one-year video archive of our Saturday night show. We also have the new Milwaukee Lion archive and new Milwaukee Lion games planned for this coming season, including a preseason game coming up this weekend with Jack Eichagder and Brett Morrison. It's all at philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.
I'm not a Wikipedia fan. I've said it many times. One of the reasons I'm not a Wikipedia fan is it is not written necessarily. Excuse me, folks, but I've got a I have an allergy where it feels like one part of my throat dries out.
Which part?
I don't know. Just one part of it. I just took a drink of coffee. I hope that that does it. Wikipedia is edited by anybody, and the people that founded Wikipedia probably thought that that was a really great idea. Well, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. And I'll tell you why. If you have an interest in scholarship and you have an interest in historical scholarship and reporting, this is a specific discipline and interest, and you have to have some grounding in it and some level of education in it. You can't just be some guy who goes on to Wikipedia and says, I have a political axe to grind with Paul Ryan. And keep in mind, folks, I'm not nothing I've seen from Paul Ryan. I'm not a big fan of his, but I'm just saying I have a political axe to grind with Paul Ryan. So all I have to do is go onto Wikipedia and footnote and otherwise source the things that I'm about to say. And I can say anything. I can bend the story any way I want. For instance, I'm going to give an example. His father's death, talking about Paul Ryan's father dying, his father's death provided Ryan with Social Security benefits until his 18th birthday, which he saved to pay for his education at Miami University of Ohio. Now, this is fully sourced. One, two, three sources. Representative Paul Ryan, Politics in America Profile. That's where that's from. And then another comes from Kevin Chioli, who is Paul Ryan, and then another comes from Bobby Sawyer, 10 Things You Didn't Know About Paul Ryan, U.S. News, retrieved August 11, 2012. Now, these are fully sourced comments, but are they scholastically, objectively inserted and placed in this article on Paul Ryan? Do they have anything really to do with the story of Paul Ryan, or is it just one person's opinion of Paul Ryan and his actions? For instance, when you put these in the story of Paul Ryan, his father's death providing Paul Ryan with Social Security benefits until his 18th birthday, which he saved to pay for his education, that is put there to undermine Paul Ryan's reputation as a conservative politician, as an outspoken critic of Social Security. That was not put there for any other reason than to do that. Now, you may say, so what's wrong with that? That's not what a biography is for. Not everything in this world is you, and I, when I say you, folks, I don't mean you, but I mean is not, you know, individuals who want to turn the world into their own personal playpen. Their own personal little playpen where they get to take the world and turn it upside down or turn it. That's called historical revisionism. Yes, it's true that Paul Ryan, it may very well be true that Paul Ryan used his father's death benefits to put himself through school. It may very well be true that Paul Ryan saved it for his education at Miami University, all of that. But that's not what you put in a biography necessarily. not in a 1-2-3 paragraph early life section of someone's biography. The only reason why that's put there is it's because it's Wikipedia, and Wikipedia allows any ass with an agenda to put anything in there so long as they're able to footnote it. And in this case, it's footnoted. The three articles referenced are three opinion pieces.
10 things you need to know about Paul Ryan.
I'm not a Paul Ryan fan. I hate Wikipedia. I hate you. And I had to laugh one night. A woman called up the show, and my God, she said it as if she was proud of it. She actually said the following thing. It says so in Wikipedia. Like, we were all supposed to drop to our knees and praise Jesus. Oh, well, if it says it in Wikipedia, I gotta just...
Yeah, I remember that. She all thought it was great and everything.
Right.
Well, she's talking about, like, Wikipedia doesn't lie.
She thought that Wikipedia was the next best thing to the Encyclopedia Britannica for information. Oh, yeah, it's in Wikipedia, so it's got to be, I had to laugh. I mean, we didn't have time. I didn't have time to say to her, ma'am, why do you think that's so great? You know? You go to Wikipedia, and there are biographies there written by the people themselves so that they are decidedly slanted in... It's like, in other words, it's like a piece of advertising.
Yeah, but they'll say that, man, on Wikipedia. They'll put up, like, this written like an advertisement.
Yo, no, I know that. I know Wikipedia will... Sometimes they will, but this article on Paul Ryan has absolutely no warnings, no messages from the editors or from the publishers of Wikipedia. Like a lot of articles that may be suspect, they'll say, hey, this is not sourced properly. It's written more like an advertisement. It's written by the source himself, you know, which they always find suspect. So they do their best. But here is a case where, by all intents, by all appearances, this was vetted properly. And Wikipedia says, yep, this is a very objective, this is a nice piece of material. This is a nice biography. This is a nice piece of source material on Paul Ryan. And I'm telling you, I just pointed out here in the second paragraph of the early life section of this man, someone put in the line here about the death benefits that his father provided for. This is an editorial comment on the life of Paul Ryan. Well, you know, you can read. People don't know what they're reading. I'm telling you, folks, you know, I'm not blaming Wikipedia. I can stay away from Wikipedia if I want to. They can do whatever the hell they want. What bothers me is that people will read this garbage, and then they'll say, well, I found it on Wikipedia. And then when they finally find out somewhere down the road that they're, you know, they got their head up their ass and they don't know what they're talking about, they'll turn around and say, well, Wikipedia, you know what? Don't you know what you're reading? Do any of you people know what you're reading when you're reading Wikipedia, or do you think it's actually some kind of fantastic site? Because it isn't. I'm sorry to have to say that. I know that they work very hard over there, a lot of them. But it's just not, it should never, ever, ever, ever be your primary source. Your primary, if you're going to go to Wikipedia, you better get two or three other sources.
Yeah, where are you going to go? Go to Paul Ryan's website?
Yeah, why don't you go to Paul Ryan's website? Ain't going to be no more.
Did I say go to Paul Ryan's website? I didn't say that. You're going to have to get two or three other sources. There is CNN.com. There's Fox. You could use both of those and kind of balance them off of each other if you want. There is an encyclopedia entry, I think, here for Paul Ryan. You could look at that.
Yeah, but what's the difference? You go and balance them off. You got Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is trying to make the claim that they are a far better source of information. They are trying to make the claim that they've got a far broader base of, if you will, researchers or reporters, because they're using all of us out here in internet land. And so they're much, much better than any scholastically supported encyclopedia. And I'm saying, no, they're not, because if you have 100 idiots or you just have 10 idiots, you still have idiots. And I'm not, you know, forgive me for saying that, but compared to a properly researched and presented encyclopedia entry, Wikipedia is dog poo.
No, I use it all the time. Yeah, me too. It never gone me wrong.
Uh-huh. It's never gone me wrong, huh?
Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. No, I don't know what you mean.
I mean, I've gotten good information stuff about it.
Really? You've gotten good information? Well, that's great. That's great, bud. One of these days, let me ask you about whether the moon has green cheese or not.
That wasn't Wikipedia.
The hell? You told me it was on Wikipedia.
No, you know what it was? It was like on one of them UFOpedia or something like that.
Yeah, UFOpedia.
Well, then that's what you should have told me, man. Bud's telling me, you know that green cheese thing about the moon?
Shut up.
Yeah?
He says, yeah, I hear it's true.
Shut up.
No, I'm not going to shut up. You're the guy that said it. You got to live with it, man, for the rest of your life.
Hey, man. Hey, Bud, what kind of cheese they got on the moon?
Shut up.
Oh, he's going to bawl now.
What are you bawling for, man?
Shut you know.
Oh, quit crying.
It's not fair.
It's not fair? You're the idiot that looked up green cheese on the moon, didn't you?
But I'm supposed to know.
How am I supposed to know? You know the moon ain't made out of green cheese?
All I'm saying is that's what they said.
Who said the moon was green? Only a fool would believe the moon's made out of green cheese, bud. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. Only a knucklehead. All right, let's take a look at some other news here on a Phil Henry. All right, bud, I'm sorry to call you a knucklehead, okay? But you are not mentally retarded, man. You don't have an educational disability. You know, all you did was run your head through an oak tree. All right. Let's see here. Arizona immigrants approved by the United States won't get licenses. Arizona immigrants approved by the U.S. Young immigrants authorized to work in the U.S. under a new federal program will not be able to get driver's licenses in Arizona. Republican Governor Jan Brewer issued an executive order saying state law bars benefits or state-issued identification for those in the country illegally, including those who qualify for the deferred enforcement program announced by President Barack Obama in June, which kicked off yesterday. She directed agencies to block access for an estimated 80,000 immigrants in Arizona who may qualify for the federal program. The order from Brewer came as thousands of young illegal immigrants lined up around the country to apply for work permits. Under the new rules, the program stops deportations of immigrants who have been in the country for at least 5 years, were brought to the U.S. before the age of 16, and go to school, graduate from high school, or serve in the military, among other criteria. Now, just think of that for a moment here, folks, before you get all high and mighty and say Obama is nothing more than a socialist, communist, fascist, pinko, you know, whatever. Because this is the same thing that happened, you know, when we got hit at 9/11. They'd say, oh, this is profiling all Arabs. No, it's people from terror-sponsoring countries between the ages of 18 and 33 who are here in the United States on a student visa who are, you know. All right. The order from Brewer came as thousands of young people lined up to take advantage of this new deference program. It stops deportations of immigrants who've been in the country for at least 5 years, were brought to the U.S. before age 16, and go to school, graduate from high school, or serve in the military, among other criteria. So that's a very specific, that's not every bloody illegal immigrant. People that have been here, people that go to school here, people that served in the military, people that are, that have put down some roots, in other words. And that, more importantly, have been here, were brought here through no real illegal action on their own. They were brought here by parents, and they were raised here. So that is a specific set of criteria that it just doesn't mean any illegal immigrant.
But about, yeah, to be in the military.
Yeah, and there you go. I would find it very difficult to say to someone who had just gotten out of the United States military, sorry, pal, you know, you are, you're no longer, you know, thank you very much for your service, but you can't have a driver's license. All right, we'll be back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Finishing up, don't forget our website, and don't forget our new podcast. Got another podcast out, episode 30. And episode 31 coming up tomorrow on the world-famous Phil Henry Show at our website, philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Boy, I entered in L.A. Animation Festival once upon a time, not too long ago, I think back in February, and now my Google search just is all about the L.A. Animation Festival, man.
Yeah, it's like stuck in here, right?
Yeah, I mean, every damn Oh, would you like to know more about the L.A. Animation Festival?
Yeah, but there ain't no L.A. Animation Festival now.
No, but what it does is, it's given me news about the third annual animation festival at Proctor's GE Theater. It's telling me about the 18th edition of the Encounter Short Film and Animation Festival in Bristol, Connecticut. And it's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-do. You know.
What's that mean?
What?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-do.
What?
What are you talking about, man?
That's what I'm trying to figure out you.
I just said that's a figure of speech. You gotta be kidding me, man.
What do you mean?
You ever heard like bada bing, bada boo?
Yeah, like the bada bing at in the Sopranos.
Oh.
Wow.
Well, I mean,
what does that mean? Bing da da bing da da boom da da. So anyway, all of these anime, Bristol Encounter Short Film Festival to screen 188 films from 36 countries. I got to be honest with you, and I say this with the greatest of respect. Animation is fine. Animation is like cartoons, as far as I'm concerned, you know?
Yeah.
And that's all it's ever going to be. And I've been to animation festivals, and I can't really tell you that it's all, you know, I don't care. I mean, I some of the weirdest-ass animation I've ever seen, and it makes me very uncomfortable, and I don't think it has anything to do with me being xenophobic. I know it doesn't have anything to do with xenophobia. It's a basic old brain, or maybe I've got what's called American brain.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, from the time I was a kid, when I could spot immediately foreign animation, and it depressed me. It made me sick to my stomach. And I, in other words, can you imagine a 10-year-old kid becoming just black with depression? Like I feel like there's life is worthless.
What are you talking about, man?
That's what happened to me the first time I saw Astro Boy.
God, man, I did that.
I'm telling you, it's the truth. When I saw Astro Boy for the first time, that was the first piece of anime, Japanese anime, I ever saw in my life. And I think it's probably the first that a lot of American kids ever saw. I know that there was Supercar. I'm not talking about the puppet stuff.
Yeah, that was like Team America.
That was like Team America. The puppet thing was a different thing. And that was weird, but that wasn't anywhere near weird as that freaking Astro Boy. That guy he bummed me out, that Astro Boy.
What he looked like?
Well, he looked like all those Japanese anime with the big round eyes, you know, and he had retro rockets for legs.
Yeah, see, that to me, I don't know if they get away with that.
What?
Well, they're all like, yeah, hey, this is a Japanese animation. Look, oh, the eyeballs are round. Yeah, sure.
Well, bud, let's not get into that, okay?
Well, why do they make it look like their eyeballs are round?
I don't know, man. That's just what they do.
That is not dishonest, though.
Oh, will you knock it off, dishonest. I don't see anything. Their eyeballs are not that round.
Yeah, they are. Every time you see Japanese animation, the eyeballs is way rounder than the ones that a regular Japanese would have.
Yeah, like, I ain't talking about a cartoon Japanese, but like a regular Japanese that walks around and he had a cartoon.
You're talking about real life?
Yeah.
Then say it!
Well,
I'm not talking about Japanese that are cartoons. I'm talking about the real life Japanese that are walking around. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. So what are you telling me? That the Japanese in the cartoons, their eyes are too big or something?
Yeah, I'm just saying, ain't there such a thing as truth in advertising?
Bud, just let alone, will you? This is my conversation, not yours. Mine. And I don't, and then came the East, there's only the one thing weirder than Japanese anime, and that's the Eastern European cartoons, which those really give me the creeps.
Why?
Because those are always about some, like a drop of water that turns into a guy, and then he turns into a city, and then the city turns into an insect, and it just, the whole thing leaves me feeling like I'm in the middle of a naked, like William Burroughs' Naked Lunch heroin nightmare or something. Like I'm delirious. That's why I say, I wonder if I suffer from American brain, because American brain, at least my mind, relates very simply to animation. Cartoons.
Well, you just don't want no political commentary.
Wrong.
Yeah, you do.
No, that's wrong. I can watch those Warner Brothers cartoons. They used to have the little man from the draft board, all that bullcrap, man. That's the, I don't mind that at all. That's the political comment in there.
Yeah, but it's not like all that brainy.
Oh, well, excuse me. I didn't know.
No, I'm not saying.
Oh, no, excuse me, bud. I didn't want to say, you and your kind, you're so intellectual when it comes to cartoons. I don't want to, you know, excuse me, man. I don't want to water down the quality of what you watch.
Well, either you get it or you don't.
Yeah, you're right. Either I get it or I don't, man. And I don't get it, and you do. All those Polish and Hungarian and weird-ass cartoons.
They're not called cartoons. They're called animation.
Oh, it's animation. Yeah, I forgot. That's like calling movies film. I think the whole thing, you know.
You're just anti-intellectual, man.
Oh, now I'm... Boy, look at the two of you guys all of a sudden. Well, maybe you guys are effete. Snobbish. Think about that?
Maybe. Maybe we just got a higher appreciation on account of the different thing that you see.
Yeah, different kinds of cartoons.
Sure.
Don't get pissed off just because we have a higher taste in the things of life.
No, I won't be pissed off. I'm just, you know. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft. This low-level and very unintellectual effort can be also enjoyed at philhendryshow.com. All you have to do is go get yourself a backstage pass and enjoy thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of this Marvy show of ours. And don't forget our podcast, episode 31, coming out this very day, later today. Visit us at philhendryradio.com for our free Phil Hendry podcast and also free live 24/7 streaming Phil Hendry show at philhendryradio.com. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.